You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM SFU Burnaby.
From coast to coast to coast, you're listening to Terra Informa. Welcome back to Terra Informa. I'm Amanda Rooney, and I'll be your host for the next half hour of environmental news from across Canada and around the world. A couple of weekends ago, Lauren Carter and Shelley Jodwin visited the Edmonton Tool Library. Now, you might be asking yourself, what is a tool library? Well, stay tuned to Terra Informa to find out right after these news headlines. Earth Day is coming up this week on April 22nd, and there are lots of cool events happening in Canada and around the world. EarthDay.ca has a great events calendar where you can check out what ways your city has planned to celebrate our planetary home. This year, Earth Day will also be marked with the Washington, D.C. March for Science, as well as satellite science marches happening in many other cities, including 18 Canadian cities. These marches champion science as a non-partisan pillar of human prosperity and call for politicians to enact evidence-based policy despite rising anti-scientific sentiments. Organizers have said that they are also planning for the March for Science to go beyond a one-time event and to become a lasting voice for science advocacy. A freezer malfunction at a University of Alberta run cold storage facility on April 2nd has caused a serious meltdown. The Edmonton facility was storing unique samples from the Canadian Ice Core Archive, and the equipment failure caused temperatures to rise from minus 37 degrees to 40 degrees Celsius. This caused 180 of the samples to melt, resulting in a loss of 12.8% of the invaluable collection of the Canadian Arctic ice cylinders. U of A glaciologist Martin Sharp said that the disaster looked, quote, like a changing room in a swimming pool, end quote. These cores had ancient dust, pollen, and air bubbles preserved inside, which can be used to provide crucial historical climate information. The loss will result in record gaps spanning tens of thousands of years and will cost about $500,000 to $1 million per core to replace. That's it for today's headlines. Now on to this week's story. Wrenches, saws, nails and screws. Edmonton is one of the last major cities in Canada to get a tool library. The Edmonton Tool Library is a not-for-profit that launched in January 2017, and it's located in the Bellevue Community League. The library shelves are full of donated tools, some well-loved and well-worn, while others are barely touched. Members can borrow the tools for their art projects, home renovations, yard cleanups, and more. Terra Informers, Shelley Jodwin and Lauren Carter explored the tool library and interviewed two of the board members, Robin Webb and Leslie Bush. They'll tell you what a tool library is and how it can save you money, reduce your environmental impact, and empower you to take on a do-it-yourself project.
A tool library operates just like a library for books. So you come in here and you get a membership. And then you can borrow any sort of tool that you might need to do repairs around your home, things outdoors, if you're building a community garden, things like that. So again, it's this idea that you're just borrowing something from us and you'll return it afterwards.
We really want to see the city become a more do-it-yourself-y type place. So it's about community building, it's about building things, and it's about, yeah, community building mostly.
We are open every Saturday from 1 until 5 p.m. and we're located at the Bellevue Community League Hall, which is right near Northlands, and it's on 112th Avenue.
7308 112th Ave.
Our goal is to be open one evening a week too, but we need to recruit more volunteers before we get there. So,
mm-hmm. How do you become a member?
It's $50 for a year, and that's for unlimited rentals throughout that year. We have a little bit of a sliding scale for students too, so if the $50 is an impediment for someone, they just need to come and have a chat with us too. But you can actually purchase your membership online, or you can purchase it from us here at the Tool Library. How many members do we have now? 75 or something,
give or take,
like
yeah. We also have a deal with the Virginia Park and Bellevue Community League, as we're located in Bellevue, that if they're a member of the Community League proper, then they can also become a member of the Tool Library for no charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really want the people who live in the adjacent neighborhood to start borrowing tools from us too. We're actually one of the last large Canadian cities to get a tool library. So we receive lots of advice from the tool library in Toronto is probably the strongest one across Canada, but also in Calgary they have one and they've been very useful. And they pointed us to things like we're all using a very similar sort of software. So it was really useful to have things like their member manuals and things like that to rely on. And I think groups that are involved in sharing economy sort of ventures like this are very into sharing all of their information about starting things up too, so that's been really nice.
There are power tools, hand tools, chisels and gouges, hammers and wrenches, lawn rakes and weeders. All the tools have been donated, and you can view the inventory online.
As you guys can see, we have over 300 tools in the inventory now, and we haven't bought a single thing. They've all been donated. So it's been really, really interesting to see, people retiring and downsizing their homes. That's a very logical one. But we have also had things, like, dropped off to us brand new in a box, never used. So we're never sure what the story is about why someone has something they never used, but there's been quite a bit of it, actually. So,
I mean, since you get all of your stuff by donation, you must get some kind of funny tools that come in.
Oh, yeah.
And do you get any... I mean, I was thinking, what's the tiniest tool that you've gotten? Or, yeah.
We got this little baby microplane. We have...
Oh, my goodness.
It's so adorable. Because you're on the radio and you can't see it. It's about maybe a sixth of the size of what a normal wood plane would look like. Just a little tiny baby one. So you could imagine if your door is sticking a little bit, you could just take this little tiny microplane, shave a little bit off your door or your cabinet door to get it to shut again.
Mm-hmm.
On the complete opposite end of the spectrum from tiny things, we've gotten lots of really hilarious, very large tools, like this screwdriver, and some very, very large wrenches that are used for automobile repairs, too.
Yeah. It's when you want to be really far away from what you're building, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
something that might splatter.
If you didn't need a ladder.
Most uniquely, we got these donated. They're auto clip appliers. I didn't know what they were. And then you look at them, they actually say Royal Alexandra Hospital OR. I believe it's 1963. These are for giving people stitches.
Oh my god.
You literally put it on the hand and you squeeze it and it pops these little, like metal sutures.
Like sutures, yeah. Holy moly.
Yeah, so it's for closing wounds very quickly, and I don't know why they were in someone's toolbox, but they're here now. We're not going to be lending them because, yeah, it just seems like a bad idea. Yeah. But we get all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh my goodness.
We also got about $5 in Canadian Tire money last week in a box, so...
I guess you probably keep that stuff with your tools, right? I mean, that's where a lot of us buy tools, so
yes.
That's really funny. Do you have any other really specialized stuff that people might not expect?
They wouldn't expect. We have a demolition hammer. We haven't tested it yet, and that's a fairly large concussion hammer that you use for drilling, like coring concrete that's thicker than an inch. So if you have a concrete condominium, when I ran water lines for my fridge, that's what you use to drill through the floor. We also have a couple of table saws, a really good miter saw, which not unusual, but super handy for people, the one with the big stand here. What else do we have that's maybe unexpected? We have benzene torches. We have we just got an air compressor, so we're going to test that soon and hopefully do, we'll have a bunch of air tools available. We also have electronics repair tools. And Max, who is in charge of our social media, every day or every couple days, he puts Tool of the Day up on our Instagram account at Yegg Tool Library. Mm-hmm. So that's a fun account to follow.
And we're trying to use that to post some of our more unusual tools. Like, I'm pretty sure people would think that we have a circular saw and a drill, but we do have lots of different things. We also have lots of painting supplies too, even like basic things like paint trays and roller handles, so even people who are doing just smaller projects. And we have a lot we can lend people, or not lend, we can give people nails and screws because we've had lots of them donated. We have quite a collection actually, so if people are going to do a project, they can even leave with some consumables to actually do the job with too, because we've had them donated.
Our other super cool tool that came in this morning, it's not even in the inventory yet, is a cable crimper for telephone and network cable. These things are fairly expensive, and if you know how to use them and you need one, this is a good place to borrow it from, because I can't imagine you doing a bunch of cabling more than once in your life, unless you work in that industry.
And then you probably buy your own.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's really neat.
Also yard tools, which we weren't expecting to get and we weren't sure if we'd keep, but we have a small selection if people are doing yard cleanup. Mm-hmm. Shovels, picks, we got a little manual aerator, all the saws. We have a really nice tree pruner with extension arm. So if you have a really tall tree and you need to take some branches off, spring's a great time to do some trees, not all trees, and I'm not an arborist, but I looked it up the other day because I was doing my Manitoba maple. You're supposed to do those in the fall when the sap isn't running. But yeah, if people are looking for stuff like that, we have it. And the whole inventory is available online at the website.
Okay. The one thing that we don't loan out is any sort of tools that would be gas powered, because we figured we don't want to have things with mixed gas and stuff inside or any sort of fumes. So we're only lending out things that are battery or electric plug-in powered. So,
do you have any gaps in your kind of tool repertoire that that could be filled by generous tool donators?
Ladders. We definitely could use some ladders. We don't have any of those at all yet. So if there's extra ones laying around, we can find a way to get them if people don't have a way to get them down here.
Mm-hmm. We had a very generous donation of some really lovely shelves, but we can always use some more shelves too to actually display the tools nicely. But we've got lots of saws. At one point, we did not have a cordless drill, but now we have two or three of them. So
someone donated this sort of craft kit. I guess it's a tabletop vise clamp and a bunch of other stuff. It's really, really sweet, but we've never seen it before. And the guy bought it in Switzerland, I guess, or it's Swiss made. And I think he brought it over from Europe. It's really cool.
It's been very interesting to see how, without any coordination, we've gotten all the things that we needed to.
So when I was a kid, my dad fully renovated our entire house, and he did it all himself and out of for dummies books. Mm-hmm. That's totally, we have a full shelf of plumbing for dummies, electrical for dummies, tiling for dummies, all that kind of stuff. Is that, are you guys collecting any books like that, or is that something that you'd be open to for donations?
We actually haven't had anyone suggest that. I'm sure we'd love to take it. We do have a website that we suggest people go to that has the actual, where you can find instruction manuals for tools. So we're not providing anyone with the instruction manual for the tool that they're borrowing, but saying, you know, this is where you can go and you just type in the model number and it'll come up. But yeah, in the future, we actually hope to do workshops at some point too. We just need to get a little bit more settled in before we start planning those as well. But I think books would be great.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that we would find a use for them, and so would other people, as long as they know how to read.
Yeah.
Now if I had a hammer, I'd hammer all day long, with strength and might for all that's right to build my spirit strong. And if I had
sounds endlessly valuable to me. You read those statistics about, you know, people who have a drill or something and they use it for, you know, 1 hour or something.
Yeah, the average life of
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, you own this thing for 25 years, you paid to heat the shelf that you keep it on, you know, what a waste of space and of your money, you know, and
it really plays into that consumeristic attitude that is prevalent in North America too, that, you know, you can buy a cheap tool and just use it and never think about it again. We want to make them available to other people then, like, rather than have them just sit around and do nothing.
Well, and also, yeah, that in order to house all your tools, that you then need a larger house or a house with a garage, and that, you know, that sort of starts spinning out of control a bit too. And most of us are downtown dwellers that are on the board too, so we're sort of thinking, yeah, space is a huge concern to us as well too.
Where do you think the do-it-yourself spirit comes from in Edmonton?
I feel like it's a very prairie thing, like the sort of isolation in the winter sort of breeds that feeling of like, oh, I'd rather not leave my house and try to figure out how to do this myself than have to hire people. But I feel like Alberta is a very self-sufficient province too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think there's this the outpost attitude that we were the last place to get a lot of things just historically, so people have kind of just made do. Having something like a tool library comes in really handy for things like that. Hopefully more people will come in and use it.
I also think that maybe unlike other areas of the province, that Edmonton has a really strong creative community too, and that will drive a lot of the lending that happens here. We're hoping to connect with lots of artists and designers and people who, you know, maybe operating on a slimmer budget, so they don't actually have to buy the tools themselves. They can just use them for what they need, especially for students. Once they're out of school and you had access to all of this stuff and you're in school and then you're done. And so that's a huge, the startup costs of opening up a workshop are really intensive. So hopefully we can be a bit of a bridge for new businesses that are getting off the ground too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine that being very, very helpful. As a recent grad, there's all sorts of resources that you get cut off of mm-hmm. as soon as you finish your degree. But I could only imagine being some kind of physical arts student and not being able to work with that stuff, that's gotta leave you in quite the lurch. So,
Yeah. So we're trying to do outreach events that target students specifically. And so Max, our board member who's still in school, has been really, really involved in that, which is great too. But there's been lots of talk of opening different maker spaces in Edmonton again, like Dying Light, like a place where people actually go to work on projects. So we weren't trying to fill that need, but I think that's still a bit of a gap in the city too, a place where people can go, because they could even take one of our tools to the makerspace and work on what they're doing there. Mm-hmm. But So if anyone wants to start one of those up, we would be excited to partner with them on all sorts of things.
So what are some of the projects that you've heard that people are working on who come into the tool library?
We had, we've had some groups like the Edmonton Area Land Trust ask us. They were doing a workshop on building solitary bee hives, so for native bee types. And they wanted to know, you know, could we direct people who are going to participate in the workshop who don't have their own tools to come and borrow them here? So we're connecting a lot with people like that. But mostly it's just lots of home reno projects. And so we're trying to put together kits, like that you would have a kit for doing something like tiling that would have all the different tools that you would need so you could take that out. But we haven't got there just yet, but soon.
There's a couple of cool stories from one of our first and biggest backers. He was redoing a rental property in Oliver, and he borrowed just about every tool that we have. And his big challenge was removing a dishwasher that was tiled in place. So he had to come here, borrow a saw. He had to take that back. He had to come back and borrow other stuff to do baseboards, flooring. He ended up donating a bunch of tools. But in the end, he made it look really good, and you probably might have seen it on Reddit. It was the apartment with the double bed for scale. Made it to the top of Reddit. We were part of that. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's really funny. They have the double bed. They moved it to, like, the living room, the double bed, and the shower so that you can see. Just, yeah, so that the renters could get a sense of how big everything was. It was very cute.
That's a funny way to do it. Like a photo shoot for the apartment.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I guess it's a frame of reference that everyone understands. That's mm-hmm. funny. I can imagine that being surrounded by tools like this and running into people doing projects like this would just make me think of all the things that I could and should do. Have either of you started any brand new projects since you started this up, just because, you know, you've been around that kind of do-it culture?
Yeah, actually, I just finished drywalling the laundry room in my condo, and what else was I working on? I used a concrete drill for putting some stuff up, curtain rods and whatnot, because I have concrete pillars that I had to drill into to do that. What else? This summer, we're going to try and do some pallet planters for our own garden, and that's going to come in handy having hammers and wrecking bars and saws from here that we can use.
Mm-hmm. That's a workshop that I would attend.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
All right.
And Robin, what about you?
My projects have been much smaller in nature, but I just moved into a new apartment, so I was borrowing tools for putting together IKEA furniture and things like that, too. So it's been really, really nice, because we actually have things like the rubber mallet that they suggest you have for putting things together, which no one has. But a hammer with a sock over it works fine, too, in case someone doesn't have one. But still, yeah, it's been nice. And today I'm taking a wrench home with me that I needed to put together the last piece of furniture. So, and I'm going to take a level home at some point, because I've hung all my pictures, but they need a little help in making sure that they're level.
The Tool Library is a nonprofit, and it's run by volunteers. Robin and Les told us about what it's like to be a volunteer tool librarian. You can sign up for shifts on the website, edmontontoollibrary.ca.
Yeah, right now we have a volunteer board of 5 of us, and then we're just building up a network of volunteers who will come and work these Saturday shifts with us. So we have one really good hardcore volunteer that started and has been here quite a bit, but we do need other people, so if you're interested, go to our website. And sign up. We actually have a volunteer sign up on the site.
And what sorts of things did the volunteer tool librarians do?
At this point, a lot of it has been actually like taking pictures and cataloging tools as we get our inventory built up. We get at least one donation of, you know, like a box of tools usually every Saturday. So there's a lot of need to get those things in. But it's also, yeah, talking with the public, helping people pick out the appropriate tool for the job that they're doing, just other general things like that. We have one volunteer that's helping us with marketing too, which is really generous. Someone who works as a professional marketer who said they would do that for free. So that's been really lovely.
Are there So like your marketing volunteer, are there any other kind of specialized volunteering, roles that you might be looking for less actively, but could really help you out?
Website development. We would definitely like someone to take a look at our website. Right now, we're using a free platform, and we've sort of cobbled together our payment system, our tool inventory system, and our actual informational website. And alongside that, we now have the volunteer sign up and a comment form. And it would be really nice to get it all just integrated into one package. What else were we looking for volunteers? Probably people to actually fix tools. Yes. Although we are working with another group called the Dying Light Society, and they're basically trying to build their own tool workshop, which we don't do because of liability concerns. We just loan the tools out, but they said that they would be able to come here and run workshops for their members on fixing our tools. But in the meantime, we still need people who know how to sharpen things or repair things, or even just how to use tools in general, or identify some of the weirder ones that we get. There's definitely some things that we get in and we say, no idea what this is for, but we'll put it in the database anyway.
We could also, like all nonprofit groups, use a fundraiser, somebody who's willing to write grants and look for sponsorships. The board, we have a lot of experience with that, but we could always use more help.
Yeah.
So
it's probably also worth mentioning that if you do volunteer a certain number of hours with the tool library, we also give you a complimentary membership.
Sweet.
Yes, yeah, we want to reward our volunteers too, so.
Awesome.
With Shelley Jo Dwin and Lauren Carter at the Edmonton Tool Library, speaking with board members Robin Webb and Leslie Bush. You can check out the Edmonton Tool Library on their website at www.edmontontoollibrary.ca, where you can view the tool catalog and sign up for volunteer opportunities. You can also follow them on Facebook at Edmonton Tool Library and on Instagram and Twitter at YEG Tool Library. If you want to hear even more stories like that, check out our website at terrainforma.ca. And while you're there, look for the survey tab in our menu. We would love to get to know you, our listeners, and what you enjoy about the show. Your input can influence the content we gather over the next year. Also, upon completing the survey, you can enter a draw for a chance to win the opportunity to host Terra Informa, like I'm doing right now, in Edmonton. And if you're from another city, it's no problem. You can still co-host from afar. And that is all the time that we have for this week's show. Terra Informa is a production of CJSR 88.5 FM in Edmonton on Treaty 6 territory. If you have questions or comments, send us an email to terra@cjsr.com or tweet it at Terra Informa. Visit us at terrainforma.ca and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks this week to Lauren Carter for both this week's story and for producing the show, to Shelley Jo Dwin for also embarking on the adventure and providing us with this story, to Charlie Blay for gathering headlines, and to Charlotte Thomason and Carter Gorzitsa for keeping our website updated. I've been your host, Amanda Rooney, and I'll catch you next week on Terra Informa.
Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.